Today's reading is in Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 1. Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So Jesus and his disciples are walking through and looking at these buildings that I'm sure were quite magnificent. Not on the order of the Temple of Solomon, but they were still magnificent buildings. Buildings that took a lot of time to build, and that any Jew was going to be proud of. It was going to be the central figure or central building of their whole lives, culturally and religiously. So I can understand them, you know, marveling at these buildings and having some pride in them. So imagine their reaction when he says, "There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." I mean, the disciple would look at him and say, "Wait, what? These that we had to fight so hard and so long in order to rebuild, you're telling me not one stone is going to be left upon another?" That would be a very, very shocking statement for them. They did, however, make the connection that this was going to be a great calamity that was going to come upon them. So in verse 3, when they're at the Mount of Olives, they came to him privately saying, "When will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age?" So there are some connections that they made, and they're wanting more information. They're wanting to have a deeper understanding of what Jesus is referring to. Instead of answering this directly, he first addresses being led astray. "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come saying, 'I am the Christ.'" Throughout what we have written in the New Testament in the first century, there is time and time again the issue of false teachers, false Christs, and false apostles. They would come in order to draw people away. And understand that that's always going to be the case as long as sin exists. There are going to be those that are greedy for personal gain or notoriety or fame or power, whatever it might be that appeals to them, that will make them change the gospel or make false claims so that they can achieve those goals. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, Paul states that even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. So he says there's always going to be those that try to say that they are the true disciple, apostle, Christ, true teacher you ought to listen to, when in fact they're servants of Satan because of what they're doing. In the book of Galatians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, Paul talks about people that would change or corrupt the gospel, giving a different gospel, now that there really is one, and that they would be accursed. So Jesus first wants them to be aware that there will be those that will try to use any situation in order to lead people astray. Then he says there's going to be these wars and rumors of wars. Don't be alarmed, for that has to take place as well. Then it says nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, earthquakes. These are the beginnings of the birth pains. Verse 9, they will deliver you up to tribulation, put you to death. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And we know through secular history of much of that happening. And he says, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Then he goes back to this idea of the false teachers. The false prophets will arise, leading many astray, and lawlessness will be increased. The love of many will grow cold. He's painting a really, really bleak picture here. And then he says, despite all of this, despite, you know, the tribulation, the persecution, the love of many growing cold, you know, all these rumors of wars and all these calamities that are happening, he said, despite all of this, verse 13, the one who endures to the end will be saved. I recently talked about God being faithful and God being reliable and trustworthy. And this is part of that. He says, you stay faithful to me and you really have nothing to worry about. You don't have to be concerned about all these rumors, these wars, anything going on. In fact, there's nothing to fear at all because God promised that he would rescue us. Maybe not keep us from harm in this world, but he'll rescue us ultimately. He'll give us that victory. Come what may, I really don't have anything to be afraid of. This reference to labor pains, that's an image that was common in order to describe the beginning of judgment that was coming. Now, he could be referring to that, or he could also be referring to the kingdom which was going to come after his resurrection and ascension, and that a lot of opposition to that movement, to the gospel of Christ, was going to come about. Considering what he has in the next section of the chapter, I would tend to go with the idea of judgment, though. We're not in the same position as his disciples and the Jews of the time. So what do I take away from this? Well, I need endurance. I need endurance no matter what happens, because which one of these verses do I really want to hold on to? Verse 13, the one who endures to the end will be saved. That's what I need for encouragement. And that's what I need in order to push me, motivate me toward faithfulness so that I can be found worthy. I can be welcomed into heaven, not because I worked my way there, but because I took advantage of the covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ and was forgiven of my sins, and I lived a life of faithfulness toward God. So that should be our takeaway, and that should be what we should be in prayer about today. Don't allow things that are going on in the world to shake your faith. Doesn't matter if it's a pandemic or a war or an uprising or political discord, but whatever happens, it doesn't matter. This world is not my home. Heaven is my home. That's where I want to go. To live as Christ, to die as gain. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.